You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is All. If you look up the definition of the word all, it means to a complete degree or to the entire or full extent, completely given to or absorbed by. You'll hear people every once in a while say, I want it all. And what exactly does that mean? All of what? And sometimes they don't even know what that means. They just want it all. But most people that want it all aren't willing to give what it takes to get all. Really get all. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And then we'll move left to right. Deuteronomy chapter 4. So let me interject this before we even read anything. It's kind of an odd thing when you think about what God has done. You go back and read Genesis and makes the heavens, the earth, makes the, you know, makes everything, makes man, makes woman. Bam, it looks like it's all going to be okay. But God knew it was not going to be okay before he made any of it. So you say, well, why would he go through all these machinations if Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? Then God, being all-knowing, knew that he'd set all this in motion, that Adam and Eve would screw up, there would be sin, and we'd need Jesus. So God knows. And while we're on this all word, he was willing to give all to make getting us back possible. So, in spite of the screw-ups of mankind, Adam and Eve triggering this thing, even then God says, well, I'm going to pick a certain people, Israel. And he knows when he picks them, not because they're smarter, not because they're better. He just picks them because he loves them. And he knows they're going to screw up. And he makes provision for that. He is a merciful God. And he already knows and has made provision for every screw-up that I will ever make from now to the day I die. Stuff I haven't even dreamed up yet. And the same goes for you. All of it. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's go down to verse 25. And he's talking to them about their lives and about their commitment to God. And he says, when you beget children and grandchildren have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you crossed over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. So he warns them, don't stray from me. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, little g, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with what? All. All your heart, and with all your soul. So what he does is he allows us to get to a place, either physically, a location, or in our hearts, where we don't want what we want anymore. And all we want is him. That's all we want. So from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him when you what? When you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. When you're in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a few pages over, and we'll read this a little bit later in the New Testament as well. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And they say, well, is that even possible? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now, I don't even need a show of hands, because I'd start with me. I can give you so many examples of situations of stuff in my own heart where I know I have not given him all. Or maybe I do give him all, and then I go back in with, you know, with some receipts or something to go, you know what, I'd really like to get some of that back. I know I gave it all to you, but I kind of need some of that all back, because you're really not all I need. And what I yielded, turns out you haven't come up with something to substitute for that yet. So I'm tired of waiting for your fix. I'm going to fix this. And we jump right back in. What are you holding on to? Give it back. Instead of telling God to give it back to God and make sure he has it all. Well, I'll deal with this another day. You won't. The another day never comes. And you spend your whole life with that one little thing you held on to. And you miss your whole life. Deuteronomy 30. A lot of good stuff in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord God drives you. So still on this, you screwed up, now you're out. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I commanded you today, you and your children, with all your heart, with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out of the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God. It's interesting, circumcision is a big deal in the Old Testament, but it's not about just skin being cut off. It's stuff that gets around a heart being removed so that your heart is right. Circumcise your heart, then you'll what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Just say, look, God, and you say, well, what are you talking about? How do you do this? You wake up in the morning, or you do it right here now, or find a place sometime today, and you say, okay, God, whatever I've held back, I don't want to hold back anymore. You can have it all, including my sin, including the sin that so easily besets me. I'm going to dump all of this on you, because I'm tired of all this stuff and what it's cost me trying to, you know, have it all. I've ended up with nothing. If you want to have it all, get Jesus. He is all in all. He's all. He is all you need. You say, but what if I end up poor? You're already poor. Yeah, but I got stuff. But you're broke in the areas that matter. The stuff doesn't fix it. Nobody has ever taken better care of me than Jesus. You say, well, I'll never get to travel. I'll never get to do anything I want to do. Well, who told you all this crazy stuff? It's just going to be a life of sacrifice. God took his people through a desert and it took a whole lot longer than it should have, because he wasn't leading them to a desert. He was leading them to a promised land that flowed with milk and honey. That doesn't sound like a bad place. They picked the 40-year desert because they wouldn't trust him. And all those people that wouldn't trust had to die so the rest of them could go in. So what's it going to take for you, for your family, for your kids, for your grandkids, for you to finally go, okay, I'll let go? Because whatever you hold on to, you're teaching your kids, that's what you hold on to. And you go, well, why are my kids so screwed up? You know, I get they make choices, but do everything you can to demonstrate to them what an all life looks like. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8, 46. And the context here is the ark has been brought into the new temple and the Ark of the Covenant. And I'll just jump in here. He says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, so it's going to happen, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy, far or near, yet when they come to themselves, look at this, it's in the Bible, taken captive, you get captive, and then you come to yourself and think, what was I thinking? When they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, and what do you say when you get out there? We have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So here's how simple this is. You can be sitting in this room and be far, far away. But if you finally come to yourself and say, God, I have sinned, I repent, I'm back. You don't even have to leave your chair. And what was a long, long, long way away is back, just like that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let him do it. Jeremiah 29. So you say, well, you keep reading the same thing over and over again. It's everywhere. This is the God you're dealing with. This is what he's about. He knows it's built into the system. He knows you are going to screw up. He's trying to give you directions to get back. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For, and everybody seems to know, that a lot of people memorize this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God's not sitting up on his throne going, how can I jack with Richard today? What are we going to do to him today? I'm so creative. Look at the universe. I've got new ways of messing his world up. That's not your God. He's on your side. He's up there doing everything he can. Not only up there if you're a Christian, he's inside of you trying to direct you, redirect you, say, no, don't do that. We don't want to go there again. And you go, yeah, we do. Come on, let's go. And then he's like, okay, I'm stuck. I got to go with you. Until finally I yield and say, you don't want to do that anymore. He's like, no, and you don't really want to do it either. Just let me overpower your will. You know, let me give you some power to say no to that, yes to me, and let's go do this. And you go, wow, this is so much more peaceful, better. I missed out on a little hit over here, but wow, this is a great way to live. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. Okay, you say, okay, well then he says, I will seek him and I'll be able to find him, but when? when you search for me with all your heart. So let's do some chasing for a little while. Go after him like that, like your life depends on it, because it does. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. He's trying to get us back all the time, all the time. And what kids don't understand, and as it turned out, what a lot of adults don't understand, is the discipline, the chastening of the Lord is what he uses to cause us to say the consequences are very painful. I do not want to be in pain anymore. And he says, well, let's not do what causes the pain. Why don't you just stay with me and do the right thing, and I'll eliminate at least the consequential pain. There may be other kind of pain, but there'll be great joy and peace and satisfaction in that, because you'll know it's not you causing it. And we are so stubborn, stupid, bullheaded, stiff-necked, determined to keep some of it instead of giving all. Go to Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Everybody's asking these eternal life questions. And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. So I think I used to see the words heart, soul, strength, and mind. And now I don't see those words anymore. First, I see another word first, the word all. He didn't say love him with your heart, some of your heart, pieces of your heart, parts of your strength. It's all. It's everything. It's all him. Now do me a favor and go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 1, and we're almost done. Leviticus 1, verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering. In other words, it's a cow, sheep, whatever it is. You put your hand on the head of it, saying, this represents me, my sin, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Same thing, the next thing, if you bring in verse 10, lives of the flocks, the sheep, the goats, lay it on the altar. The priest shall, down in verse 13, then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So what happens to a sacrifice? It's completely consumed. Go to Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Keep going right. Acts, Romans. Okay, so I read you the Leviticus passage for this reason. A sacrifice. When something was sacrificed, it was consumed. It was lost. It was gone. It was burned. Over. So then Paul here writing the church at Rome in verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a not sacrifice, in other words, that you would be stabbed, killed, burned on an altar, but this one word, a living sacrifice. So what does that mean? You wake up every day and you say, Father, I present me, my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, my will, my emotions, my spirit, everything, my whole body, a living sacrifice. Meaning, I lose me, I sacrifice me, and my sacrifice is what? Holy and acceptable. How is your sacrifice of yourself holy and acceptable? Because he made you holy and acceptable. So you know he's going to take your sacrifice because he's the one that's made you worthy of giving yourself to him. And then he goes on to say, which is your reasonable service or a reasonable act of service. Why is it so reasonable? Look what he did for us. So he offered himself a literal sacrifice, dies on the cross, sheds his blood, buried, raised from the dead. And then he says to us, now I'm asking you to present yourselves a living sacrifice. So I don't need you dead, but I need you gone so that I can live in and through you and let me run the show. Let me have all of your life. And he said, well, what does that look like? It looks like you walk and talk with God every day. You yield it all to him and you listen. And sometimes it's quiet, but then he'll say, go there for lunch. Speak to that person. This is not complicated. What complicates it is that we don't want to give him all. Well, this is my day. This is my day for me. This is my time for me. This is my stuff. Just listen and do what he says. But what if he takes it all? It's okay. He can replace it all. I beseech you, Paul says, I beg you, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then people start seeing this is what it looks like. It makes people want to be a Christian when they finally meet Christians who have presented themselves a living sacrifice, and they see what that looks like and go, wow, they still have some challenges, but that looks a whole lot better than my life. Because you start to show them what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is, and that turns out to be a great thing. If you're not changing the world, it's not God's fault. You say, I want to make a difference. Then get out of the way. Give him everything. Give it all to him. And see what he has to do with it. You'd be amazed what can happen.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
There's an old hymn I grew up singing. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And another song has come out since then. I surrender all to you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a run at giving him all, okay? So I'd like you to just use simple words. First of all, if you're not a Christian, then you really don't have much to give him. You got nothing. So you're trading your nothing for his all. And that's simply a prayer of, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died, was buried, raised from the dead, to save me, to rescue me. I want him to come live in me, through me, change me, give me eternal life, abundant life, and show me what you intended for my life. Secondly, if you're already a Christian, then you say this, God, I give you all. Even the stuff I don't want to give you, I can't keep this anymore because it's killing me. It's ruining my life. So whatever I've held on to, I've given you almost everything, but today I give you all. Now you say, well, I don't want to do that because what if I don't stick with this? If you take something back, then give it back. Don't quit trying to give him all. Keep pushing it his way and see what he has to do.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.